of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, if you set out to fulfill a task, to accomplish something, and you're at the very beginning and you're thinking about the chances of success, and you're hoping for high chances, what kind of percentage might you hope for? 95%, maybe 90%, settle for 85 and 80. Few people would hope for 100% because we're kind of mediocre, as we said last Sunday. We're kind of average. We don't have that perfection that we're called to. We set the bar low. In last Sunday's gospel, there was that conversation about perfection. The man asked how he could be made perfect, how he could have eternal life. Christ revealed it to him, and he went away sad, refusing that perfection, refusing that eternal life, refusing that life with Christ. Success rate, zero. Well, we might say, okay, well, that's the case for this man, but what about the 12 who followed? Right? There were 12 who left everything, and they followed the Lord, and they had that eternal life. Well, one of them, Judas, who was also a lover of money, turned away. But the success rate was kind of better. The Lord's interest in success is that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants 100%. In today's gospel reading, we heard about 10 lepers. What was the success rate there? Well, it depends on what type of healing we're looking at. They were all healed bodily. But is that the complete healing that Christ comes to give to us? No. No, it's not. He comes to heal also the soul. What was the percentage there? 10%. Again, very low. These very low percentages. Something must be wrong. Is Christ not able to accomplish his work? He had given the one man riches, and then he had bestowed health upon the other. Isn't that enough for people to love Christ? Unfortunately, often it's not the case, because we end up loving his gifts more than he who gave them to us. We end up loving creation more than the Creator. That was the case last Sunday, and that was the case for 9 of these people, these lepers, this Sunday. You know, when we discuss leprosy, it's not something that we're familiar with today. Even though it still does exist, it's able to be treated. In that day, it was not. Leprosy was thought to be highly contagious and incurable. Those who had leprosy, which was a skin disease, would be outcast in the community. They would be ostracized. They would abide outside of the towns or the cities. And in fact, that's where the Lord met these 10 men outside of that village. They would be kept there, and no one would be allowed to touch them. They had to wear a little covering that was taped on or glued onto their top lip that would cover their mouth. And when one came close to them, the leper would have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," as a warning, so that no one would get this terrible sickness, this terrible disease. The Jews, who understood sickness to be a symptom of sin, looked at these lepers as people who illustrated the human condition. People who you could see were bound by sin and corruption and heading towards death. They were great illustrations of the power of sin. And perhaps that's why when Christ sends out his disciples, he tells them to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, and to drive out demons. Of the 4 different types of work that the Lord commands the disciples to accomplish, one of them is to cleanse the lepers. These people who suffered so terribly, not just from that physical illness, not just from sin, which is common to all of us, but also suffered from being ostracized, being outcasts. I mentioned this a few years ago, the connection between leprosy and Hansen's disease. which is kind of a modern day name for biblical leprosy. And I spoke about some of the symptoms of this terrible disease. I'll just repeat some of them for you now. Patients with leprosy or this Hansen's disease experience disfigurement of the skin and bones, twisting of limbs, the curling of the fingers to form the characteristic claw hand, facial changes, including thickening of the outer ear and collapsing of the nose, tumor-like growths called lepromas may form on the skin and in the respiratory tract, and the optic nerve may deteriorate. The largest number of deformities develop from the loss of pain sensation due to extensive nerve damage. For instance, inattentive patients can pick up a cup of boiling water without flinching. When these people cannot sense touch or pain, they tend to injure themselves or be unaware of injury caused by an outside agent. In fact, some leprosy patients have had their fingers eaten by rats in their sleep because they were totally unaware of it happening. The lack of pain receptors could not warn them of the danger. One physician who worked extensively with this disease, and he has reposed, but he was world-renowned orthopedic surgeon and a leprosy physician. He said, and this is a very instructive quote, he says, "I cannot think of a greater gift that I could give my leprosy patients than pain." Just think about that for a moment. These people had suffered so much from this disease that they didn't experience sensation. And in the absence of pain, their sufferings doubled, quadrupled, multiplied. Because pain was for them and given for us as a great protection. It would keep us from doing things that would be harmful to us, that could kill us. And without pain, we can fall into these things. Pain also, in general, makes us sympathetic or even empathetic to others. I feel your pain. I know your suffering. I'm with you in your struggles. And for those who have a conscience, it calls those who are healthy to come and minister to those in pain and suffering. It unites us, leads us to love. So pain protects us, makes us sympathetic, empathetic, and it fills us, potentially, if our conscience is good, with love. Father Daniel gave me a great quote this week. He, I think, sometimes goes out and mines these quotes somewhere. This one he got from the funeral of our late President George Bush. It was from Senator Alan Simpson. He said of the president, "He never hated anyone. Hatred corrodes the container that it's carried in. Hatred corrodes the container that it's carried in." Very powerful quote. Father Daniel, in his email to me, when he sent this quote, he said, you know, this really could apply to many other things: anger, lust, revenge, all of these types of sins. Really, because it's sin that corrupts the container that it's carrying. It's sin that corrupts us. It's sin that led to leprosy, sickness, suffering, and ultimately, as the scriptures tell us, to death. Sin corrodes the container that it's carried in. And Christ has come to overcome sin and the consequences of sin. He's come to heal us. And he's come to have a success rate of 100%. That is what he is shooting for. 100% healing in soul and body, and 100% of his people. It seems, though, from last Sunday and from this Sunday's gospel, that although people are interested in the good things of this age, of this earth, they're not so interested in God. And that's the great problem, right? Because sin is separation from God. The way sin is overcome, the way the illness is healed, is by union with God. That is where it's all at. But those who have everything in this life, whether it be wealth last Sunday, or in this case, health, these lepers, they weren't interested in union with God. They had what they wanted. They had this age. They weren't interested in Christ. How is Christ going to raise the successor? What should he do? Well, think about at the start of the gospel today. Before the men were healed, didn't they all cry out to the Lord, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us"? Weren't they seeking the Lord at the beginning? Well, that's better almost than at the end, right? In the beginning, they were crying out for him. They were looking for him. But when they got what they wanted, their healing, then they forgot about him, except for one. But one is not enough. It is precisely our pain and our suffering that make us call out to God. It is, if you will, that spiritual leprosy of sin that we all carry within our vessels, within our containers. The fact that we're dying is the reason we turn to God, who is life. If God were to grant us what we want now, in an instant, which is what? What do we want from God? The man last Sunday, he wanted wealth and he wanted to enjoy it forever. That's what he was asking. How can I have eternal life? How can I have all my good stuff forever and ever and ever? He wasn't actually interested in the one who is eternal life. He just wanted temporary life to go on forever. But God didn't give it to him. Those who were lepers today, they wanted health of body, but not health of soul. What if Christ knows that it's not to our benefit to give us bodily resurrection before we have been resurrected spiritually? Do you think our success rate might go up? I would think so. Do you think we might seek him a little bit more? Absolutely. It is precisely the reason we seek him. We don't seek him for who he is. We're not there yet. We seek him for what he can give to us. This is where we start out in the spiritual life. We seek those things that are good. But it would be much better to seek him just right from the beginning for him himself. To seek God for more noble reasons. But we're not there yet. So he allows us to seek him for these lesser reasons. For deliverance from pain, from sickness, from sorrow, from sighing, from death. He allows us to seek him for deliverance from these things. But he won't give it to us yet until we are seeking him enough and latched on to him enough and practicing his commandments enough so that we come to actually know him and taste and see that the Lord is better than all of the stuff we initially wanted. He withholds the healing from us. He withholds the wealth from us. He withholds all of the things that we're craving for so that he can give us what we actually need. And what we actually need is to be healed from our sin. We actually need to be united to him. We think about ourselves and our lives. Are we not the people that have been given by Christ union with God, victory over sin, over death, over the devil? Didn't we hear in Colossians today that we should give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son in his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. That in all things he may have the preeminence. Brothers and sisters, the question for us is, does he have the preeminence in our lives? Does he himself have the preeminence in our lives? Or are we seeking after the stuff that he can give us in this age or in the next? Do we love Christ for who he is? Last Sunday, the answer was no. This Sunday, 10% success. What success is it for us? Perhaps we can give thanks to God that he has given us a great gift. The gift that Dr. Paul Brand wished he could give to his patients who had leprosy. The gift of pain. The gift of suffering. Why? So that it might protect them. So that they might be sympathetic and empathetic. So that they might minister to one another in compassion and love. So that, he didn't say this, but I'll say it, so that they might seek God as their life. Brothers and sisters, thank God that he has left us a cross, that he's left us our pain and our suffering and our death, because without it, our success rate and salvation would be very low. And God wants 100% in soul and body and for each and every one of us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.